I see that picture every Sunday morning, and I feel like I need to bang my Bible around more to make it look good and used like that. Just kind of. Well, I am so glad that you are here today. And I know most everybody's excited about having a few days off this week. I know EJ was disappointed that there's no school, but other than that, we have some other students and teachers that may be a little excited for a few days off, but I pray and I hope that your time with family the next week or two will be good, and that your family will truly experience the peace of God. We take it for granted, and as we are around those that we love and those that we're closest to, we fall into some bad habits sometime, and we don't treat each other like we should, and we get short with each other and get frustrated with each other, and so as God's peace is in our hearts, let's remember that this week, okay? Let's remember what God has done for us. That is not just reserved for heathens in treating the lost right. It's also reserved for family and treating family right. So watch your tone. Increase your patience. Be grateful for what you have. And just enjoy all those things that God has given us. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in the Word. Our Father in heaven, we praise your name. Father, we're grateful for this time of year, for this holiday season. We're grateful to hear the name of Jesus when people around us wish us Merry Christmas. Father, we thank you for everything that recognizes your glory, for anything that confesses your name. And I pray, Lord, that we will speak and live and act in such a way that you will be glorified in all that we do. And I pray, Lord, that when we face obstacles in our life, that we will be quick to give you glory. Father, I pray that each of us will understand and appreciate the peace that you have put in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you protect us from the enemy and just trying to lose our trust in small ways. Lord, everybody here this morning, we see the big temptations coming a mile away. But I pray that you watch over us in those little things. Those little things that cause us to speak in ways that we shouldn't. Those little ways in which we just don't trust you or we worry about things. Father, fill our hearts with so much of your love that there is no room for anything else. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for looking at us and the mess that we have made and sending us a Savior. And as we look at his story again this morning, I pray that you renew our hearts, that you refresh our souls, that if we need to confess our sins, that we will do so, and we will continue in faith and walking in your light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bible back to Luke chapter 1. It's always a good lesson and a good reminder, or just maybe a good sign, that if you want to know what's important to God, pay attention to what the enemy is attacking. If you want to know what God cares about, then open your eyes to what the enemy is trying to destroy. It happens in your life. You want to know what the enemy is trying to take away from God doing in you? Where is there a part of your life that you just don't have faith? Where is there a part of your life where you just get triggered? Who's that person in your life that, for whatever reason, you just can't seem to come to terms or to click or just, oh. So if you want to see where God is trying to work in your life, in your family's life, in the world around you, look at what the enemy is trying to attack. When Jesus comes to earth in a body, he fulfills a promise made by God. And that promise that we saw in Luke chapter 1 is God's promise of peace. Now, it's such a simple thing, but it's such a complicated thing. It's a complicated thing because you and I get in the way of it. And a lot of times we don't even realize it. We think, well, of course, yes, yeah, God's given me peace. Now leave me alone so I can enjoy it. That's how silly and how serious it is. Because even us that are filled with everything that God has provided, we lose our peace like that. We give it up. We give it up. And so this morning, I wanted us to take a fresh look at this gift of God and see where the enemy is trying to take it away, to appreciate it, to enjoy it, and to hold on to it. The peace that God gives us. Now, look at how the enemy attacks peace. The enemy attacks peace in our hearts and minds. The enemy attacks us and tries to take away our peace right here. And right here. Now think about the things in your life that you just lose it. It's quick. You get frustrated. You get scared. You get worried. Look at the world around us. And this just isn't us, but look how the enemy just removes peace from everyone around us. There is so much mental anguish that is going on in us and those around us. It's like people just can't even get a mental breath or break, because whether it's just events in the world or everything seeming to be happening all at once, and we take on so much that we don't give back to God, we don't let him carry, we don't let him care for, and we don't let him work out, that all of us just have this just burden in our hearts and in our minds that just prevents us from being at peace among ourselves. And I think about the enemy taking away or robbing peace between us and others. We are in a time where we are so scared of other people. We are. We're just afraid. And we are callous toward other people. We don't view other people as family or a friend or a possible friend. We view other people as a threat. We look at other people and we think about how they might hurt us or take advantage of us or cause us discomfort, or maybe they're just going to be a waste on our time. It is so precious to us. And so the world has just gotten callous with each other. That it's not a fellowship of man, but the enemy is right here. The enemy is right in the people that we meet and the people that we talk to, and we are so combative with each other. There's not a peacefulness in humanity. And the enemy is combating and fighting against our peace of mind just in our existence here. And it's working. It's working. And you and I need to recognize this. It is just the everyday news and the things that are going on in the world around us. It's like you can't catch a breath because nothing just slows up. It's like things are compounded and compounded and compounded. And we just, It's like the enemy just wants us to live at that red line where your RPM is just all the way up. And that each thing is just a, whoa, a catastrophe. Each thing is just a, oh, a chance for me to fall apart. And we're not coming back down. We're not being at peace. And so I know because of God's word how important peace is. And I also know how important it is because the enemy is constantly. And for you and I, this is where it gets tricky. Because you and I seem to look around and think, well, Satan's going to try to get me to be unfaithful to my family. Satan's going to try to get me to just become a heathen and just say, well, I'm done. I'm not going to church anymore. I don't believe in Jesus. That's not how he's going to get us. Satan's going to get us by you and I sitting here worshiping God together with the body and just not being at peace. That's how the enemy attacks us. The enemy is going to attack us by saying, hey, you can have your religion. I just don't want your faith to be real. You can have your religious practices. I just don't want your heart to belong to God and know what God has done for you and how much he loves you. So, I mean, honestly, the enemy has a lot invested in you and I showing up here this morning and walking away still just not at peace. So here in Luke chapter 1, this is God's act to bring his peace into the world. And it starts before Jesus. It starts with John. And Terry did a great job of reminding us of Zechariah's words about his son. Because Zechariah, it's his turn to go into the temple. And he goes into the temple to offer up incense to God. And an angel shows up to Zechariah and says, hey, Zechariah, God has heard your prayers. And he's going to bless you and your wife with a baby. Now, this is really neat the way that Luke does this. Because we look at the birth of Jesus and we go, oh, that's a miracle because, you know, Mary's a virgin. Well, also, it's a miracle because Elizabeth is old. And so Zechariah and Elizabeth, they wanted a child, and God hasn't blessed them with a child. The angel shows up and says, hey, God's heard, and God's going to answer you, and God's going to bless you with a baby, and this is what he's going to do, and this is what he's going to proclaim. And Zechariah, in all of his excitement, is standing there in the temple, and he goes, that is fantastic news. How do I know I can believe you? Now, if Zechariah knew his Bible enough, he would have gone straight to Gideon or somebody and asked for some, I don't know, some wet fleece or something. But he leaves it in the angel's imagination. And he says, well, what kind of sign am I going to have to know that this baby's going to be born? And the angel goes, here's a good one. You can't talk until the baby comes. And he comes out, and they're all worried about him because he's been in there a while, and he can't talk. He can't talk. The angel says, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign. You know how sometimes God answers prayers in ways that, he answered it, but that's not how I would have answered it. And so Zechariah can't talk, and the baby finally shows up, and they're all just wanting to know, well, what should we call the baby? What's going to be this baby's name? Zechariah's lips are finally opened, and what's the first thing that comes out of his mouth? Praise be to God! First thing out of his mouth, it says in chapter 1:68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. You know how you go all night? Now, some of you, and I don't know, I'm not in your bedroom. Some of you may talk in your sleep. I don't know. But you know how you go all night and you don't say a word, hopefully? And you wake up in the morning and the alarm goes off and you are given another day of life and your mouth is opened and the first things out of your mouth are, I don't want to go to work. Imagine 9 months of not being able to say a word. First words out of your mouth should be, blessed be the name of the Lord. We wake up in the morning, the first words out of our mouth needs to be, blessed be the name of the Lord. He has seen fit to give me today We just take each day for granted. And it's a gift of God that he allows us to wake up and to draw breath and to get up and to work and to love and to serve and to be close to him and know all about him and to be able to share him and be able to enjoy all of his blessings and to have peace filling our hearts. And so Zechariah's first word, blessings be to God. God has promised salvation, and Zechariah's son, John, would prepare the way of the Lord. And so Zechariah is talking about all these things, and in verse 77, here's the, he talks about John in 76. He says, "You child will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways." So he's setting us up for John's life and ministry. What is John going to do? He's going to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of his sins. He is going to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And he is going to show the way of peace that is their path. So John, you're going to be able to preach to people to know that God has shown up. He has answered everyone's prayers. He has done above and beyond what everyone is asking. And he is bringing the knowledge of salvation to his people. He is finding those people who were stuck in darkness at death's door. And he is lifting them up. He is gathering them in his own arms. And he is saying to them, "I got you. I'm taking care of you." And he is saying, every day that you get to walk on this earth, you get to walk in peace. You get to walk in the way of peace. And church, we read those words and they are so far from us. They are so far from us. You and I have all of these blessings brought to us by the Son of God himself. We have knowledge of salvation. We have been rescued from darkness and death and been given eternal life. And you and I walk in the path of peace. It's all ours. That's who we are as God's children and what we've been given. And shame on us when we do not recognize, realize, and live that every day. I mean, what are we saying to God when God says, "This is what I've given you," and you and I refuse his gifts? When you and I refuse his gifts and say, "I'm just not going to be at peace. I'm going to have conflict." Well, why would you have conflict? Well, because so-and-so made me mad. Or so-and-so's not being nice. So I'm just going to return some not nice back to them. Because that'll do it. I'm just going to be stressed out. Which, you know, the lovely people around you say, "Hey, why don't you just calm down?" Because that's always helpful, isn't it? "You don't tell me to calm down. I don't want to be calm. I don't want to experience peace. I want turmoil. I need it." Which we don't, but you know, we just get upset when it's pointed out to us. Church, we have to hear the Lord speak to our hearts and say, "I have saved you from your sins. I have brought you from darkness and death, and I've made you alive. And I have given the path in front of your feet, the way of peace." That is the gift that God gives us. And John gets to proclaim these things. John gets to speak of these things. And then in Luke chapter 2, go to verse 8, because then Jesus is born again. Another miracle pregnancy. Right? So we have the old lady and we have the young lady and we have these boys that are born. And I love how the angel says to, we didn't read it, but the angel says to Zechariah, "Hey, your son, when he's born, he's going to be filled with the Spirit of God, even in the womb." You remember the story when the two moms met? And the babies are just, "Hey, let's go. Let's go." They're excited. They're filled with the Spirit of God. You and I, we have a hard time mustering any kind of energy. And we're just here and we know all about God. And the babies in the womb are like, "Hey, hey, hey." So now Jesus is born and another messenger comes. And good news is proclaimed yet again. And so in Luke chapter 2, I want to pick it up in verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." If you got a pen in your hand, I want you to underline, "for all the people." That's very important. We'll come back to it, okay? "For all the people," verse 11, "for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So, the shepherds are visited by an angel at the birth of Jesus, and the message is good news. Today, the Savior is born. Today, the Savior is born. Christ the Lord. And this is the Savior of, what do we underline? All the people. Now, I didn't point it out, but it's good to see in Zechariah's, you know, unmuted speech, his focus is all about Israel, right? So he's saying John is going to have a ministry that is going to bring back God's people. Then the messengers from heaven who come to the shepherds, they say, this is a little bit bigger than that. Jesus is going to be a Savior for all the people. This is good news. And then when the angels just kind of rejoin the host, what's their song? What are they singing? What are they praising God with? In verse 14 of chapter 2, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." May God, well, we sing it, "To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done." We don't sing the second part, do we? Nope. Praise God! We forget the peace on earth. Church, what are you and I missing? The peace on earth. That's what the angels say. To God be the glory and peace on earth with everyone that God is pleased with. Is God pleased with you? Absolutely. Do you have knowledge of his salvation? Absolutely. Have you put your faith and your hope and your belief in his Son, Jesus Christ, for eternal life? Absolutely. You're at peace. You've been removed from darkness. You've been removed from death. You've been given the way of peace. You're there. You're there. So, church, what do we do? What we do is exactly what the Bible does here in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2. God has acted. Now, has John, being born as a baby, has he done a thing? Not yet. But it's as good as done. Jesus, having been born in a manger, has he died yet for the sins of the world? No. But it's worth celebrating. In fact, it's the biggest news out of all creation. Look what God has done. It's not going to be finished till when? Till the cross, right? When Jesus himself says, do you remember what he said? in one of the Gospels. It is finished. This is it. This is the end of God's work for His people. The price for sins has been paid. But the peace on earth, it is here. It is now. Church, you and I fall into the enemy's trap because we get up and we look around us and go, oh, the news on TV is bad. Oh, my family's dealing with this. Oh, that hurts. Oh, I don't want to do this. We just our way through everything and it ruins our day. And by the time you and I get to school or work or to the kitchen for our cup of coffee, we're already ruined. And the first thing that we say, the greeting that we get is, ugh, why can't? Why isn't? All we do is point out things that are wrong and messed up. And that's our focus because that's where our hearts are, that's where our minds are, that's where our words are. We don't get up with the peace of God. We don't get up remembering the knowledge of His salvation. We get up being tools of the enemy. Aren't you tired of that? Aren't you tired of being used by someone that cares nothing for you and wants nothing but to destroy you just because misery loves company and he doesn't want to be alone for all eternity? Or do you want to spend every waking moment with the knowledge and realization and hope and love of the one who loves you so much that he was willing to send his son, left his place of glory in heaven, and said, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to slum it for a while. And I'm going to show them what love looks like. God deserves better than what we return. God deserves better than our weak little puny faith. God deserves better than our complaints and our regrets and our unsettled hearts and our misery. And our focusing on the past and just refusing to give our brokenness to Him because He's the only one that can heal it. Our refusal to be at peace in here or here or here. It's almost as though the knowledge of salvation is not doing its job. It's almost as though you and I are preventing everything that God has given us from actually taking root in our hearts, and it's not growing because we miss the gift. We're not at peace. So my challenge to you this day, this week, this holiday season, this life, you are at peace with God. Be at peace. Enjoy His peace. Walk in the way of peace. Share His peace with others. Now, was everybody excited about Jesus bringing God's peace to the world? Really? Everybody was excited? Everyone that Jesus talked to was excited and happy to hear from Him? No. Some people weren't excited, were they? No, some people were just upset about it, weren't they? Yeah, they sure were. So guess what? Should you and I expect anything better than Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Don't even shake your head because we're all liars. We all expect to be treated better than Jesus, every single one of us. We are awful. Jesus gets treated bad and we say, thank you, Jesus, for going through that. We get treated bad and go, how dare you, God? I deserve better. How dare you make this difficult? How dare this be so hard? Seriously? I thought you were going to be there for me. I thought you were just going to smooth the path and just make it easy and breezy. He said, no. I promise peace. Was Jesus at peace with the Father? And because He was at peace with the Father, did He have difficulties in enemy territory? Amen, He did. You and I should expect nothing but the same. We're at peace with our Creator, and we are now in enemy territory. Huh, shrapnel's probably going to go off over our head. We're probably going to feel and be unsettled, by the war raging around us because we're in the middle of it. And what did Jesus leave for us to do? He said, hey, I want you to go into enemy territory and I want you to rescue others in the same way that you've been rescued. You and I live each day in enemy territory just tiptoeing, hoping not to get hurt, right? I just want to get through the day. I just want to get through the day. I just want to get back to my chair. I just want to get back to my living room. I just want to get back to my TV show. I just want to get back to making me happy, because all these things are just trying to pull at my time and my energy and my peace. And all these things are trying to unsettle me. And if I can just get back, and we're just, you know, tiptoeing through all these, you know, just ridiculous paths in front of us. And how did Jesus walk? He walked like he was cool, didn't he? Kind of like he owned the place. And disease and sickness and death? All right, no problem. And the demonic coming up right to his face? Okay. And all the religious know-it-alls who tried to shut him down? I'll deal with you brood of vipers too. What are you going to do? And the government saying, hey, you know I have power over your life, right? You wouldn't have any power unless my father saw fit to give it to you, so what are you going to do? How do we walk, church? How do we walk? Do we walk like Jesus? I mean, we talk a lot about Jesus, but do we walk like Jesus? Being at peace with God's a little unsettling in this world. It really is. But being at peace with God is bigger than anything that we face in this world. God has said it. He has done it. Now, we're waiting for the culmination of it. But just like the heavens and the earth rejoiced at the arrival of these two baby boys, everything that they would accomplish and fulfill for the Lord hadn't happened yet. But guess what? The celebrations happened. Because God has declared it. It's as good as done. Is your soul saved from your sins? Is your permanent address with the Father in heaven? Good is done. Good is done. So now we walk in peace. And guess what? The explosions are going to still happen over your head. The people around you are still going to be nasty because they're stuck in darkness and death. They know no other way. So I got to stop avoiding them and I got to start reaching out to them. I have to let them know what I have. I have to let them know how the peace of God changes my life and how it can change theirs as well. I'm not going to convince anyone else that the peace of God is real if I'm not at peace. Right? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you and I are just, if we're just like everybody else, we got nothing. If being in God's light doesn't look like light, it's not going to matter. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. This is my last scripture. I don't want to say we'll wrap it up here, but we're getting there. We're getting closer. We're closer than when we began. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have, I'd circle it if I were you. I think every time you see the word in the New Testament, it's probably a good idea. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Now, I'm not looking. If you need to underline that phrase, I'll mind my own business for a second. God's word says we rejoice in our sufferings. Some of us need to be underlined in this. You guys got your highlighters? Your paint buckets? Okay, good. At least I wasn't afraid to hold it up. We rejoice in hope. We are at peace with God. We are at peace with God. You know the peace that passes understanding, right? It doesn't make sense. It makes you look crazy a little bit, right? Because everybody else is there on the outside looking in going, how are you not all tore up by everything that's going on? How is Jesus not tore up by the enemy throwing darts at him every single day? By death threats? By the people who claim to be gods? By the government coming down and eventually taking his life? And Jesus, he wasn't unfazed by all of it. But it's almost as if he was like, he knew something that they didn't. It's almost as if he had some kind of, I don't know, insider information, and he knew how the story was going to turn out, and he knew where the victory was going to come from, and he knew that he was going to be totally fine no matter what they did to him. It's almost as if he knew something bigger that was going on, or someone bigger that was above everything that was happening. And so he lived the way he lived. And so you and I rejoice in that same hope. We're at peace with God through Jesus. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hey, if the world around us is not glorifying God, you know what? Someday they will. And I'm going to rejoice in that. But I'm going to rejoice today. I'm not going to stand back. God didn't call us to stand back and say, okay, well, I've been baptized, so I'm forgiven. So I'm just going to stand here, make sure I don't stain anything, make sure I don't, you know, step in anything that might get mud on my pants. I'm just going to stand real still here and, you know, Lord, oh, come on, show up and clean everybody up. Show up and clean this mess. Show up and fix everything and make it all right so that I can join the parade. It's not what Jesus does. That's not what he sends his followers in the world to do either. No, he calls us to just kind of get in the mess of things and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. God is glorified. God will be glorified by everyone on that day. But guess what? Today I get to glorify God. Today God gets to be glorified in my life. And I know it's frustrating, and sometimes we just think that's so small. Church, your faith, your standing and say, I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. My hope and my faith in that is not small. When you stand up and say, I will not go along with the lies of this world, I will put my hope in God, that is a world-changing event. That is big. And if it causes me any suffering, I'm going to rejoice. Okay, now you're really starting to talk crazy. Nobody rejoices in suffering. Nobody wants to hear the diagnosis. Nobody wants to go through the news of the day. No. I mean, at this point, church, how are we not all freaked out by these drones that are just covering the eastern seaboard? Because whatever it is, I'm sure it's horrible. Are you not starting to see what the little weak stuff that the enemy's pouring out there? It's nothing. It's nothing. It's got everybody running around like, okay. They're drones. They're what? Whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to the world. It's all falling apart. It's all falling apart. Someone got killed in Lubbock. Yeah. I follow the news. Someone gets killed in Lubbock almost every day. I talk to people every day. Oh, it's just getting so bad. It is bad. You know about the love of God? Because that's the good. We rejoice in our suffering because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. All right, now I really am going to close with this. You ready? God sent his son to die for our sins. He paid the price. And when you put your faith in him, you don't have to pay the price. The price is paid. So we are at peace with our Creator. There is no more sin separating us from God. I am at peace with God because all of my sins have been forgiven. Forgiven of me, not to me. I lost a word. What's that preposition? My sins have been forgiven. Now, I'll stop there. My sins have been forgiven, so I'm at peace with God. When I talk to God, guess what? He's paying attention. He's listening. He's there for me. I don't have to hide anymore. My sins are forgiven. I'm at peace with my fellow man. I'm at peace with you. I may annoy you. My wife and I are at peace. I annoy her. If she can forgive me, you can forgive me because I have done nothing to any of you like I have done to her. I promise. I can be annoying. But we have peace with our fellow man. Now, how does that work? Well, number one, we have fellowship through the blood of Jesus Christ. Or you're someone that I just get to extend mercy to, just like Jesus extends mercy to me. So you and I, we got nothing between us. There is nothing that you can say or do that I'm just going to hold a grudge and be mad at you. There's no point in it. We are at peace with our fellow man. And then we are at peace, Romans chapter 5, in here. I'm at peace with God, I'm at peace with everybody else, and I'm at peace in here. Because God's love has been poured out into my heart. Merry Christmas. I'm at peace with God. I'm at peace with everybody else. And I'm at peace in here. Don't say at peace with yourself, okay? Because that's the enemy's lie. We say, well, I'm not at peace with myself because I got all this stuff. You don't know all the stuff going on in here. No, I don't. But I do know God's promise to say that his love has been poured into our hearts. And I kind of know, I know God well enough to know that what he's got going on and the love that he has poured into my hearts is bigger than all the stuff that you and I get upset about. I do know that. And if you don't know that, and you're not at peace in this mess, then you need to focus on the love of God that has been poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Sounds like maybe your daily prayer needs to be when you get up out of bed, Father, I need some more of that Holy Spirit. Because it hadn't been enough, obviously. The enemy's still got a foothold. The enemy's still got some real estate going on in here because I am roiled up. I need peace. I need more of your Holy Spirit. I need more of your love filling my life. I need to be so filled with your love that that's all I can see. I can't see the stuff that's trying to wreck me. I've already given in to the enemy. I won't admit it, but he's got me. So I need more of your spirit. There is a battle going on for Christian souls. That's the battle. That's where you and I are at. But we are at peace in our hearts. Church, peace is the greatest gift God has given us. And everyone is celebrating this season. Don't forget the gift God has given you. And don't forget the gift that you get to share with others. Okay? Whew. Whew. God is good. God is good. All right. If you need to respond this morning, if you just need us to pray with you, because maybe you just, it's been a while since you've been at peace and you need your brothers and sisters to stand around you and say, guess what? We're going to pray for you because you are obviously, you don't have the faith right now to ask God yourself. We will pray with you. And maybe it's just been a while and you're like, well, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved, Michael, but that peace that you're talking about, that is foreign to me. Let us know. That's why we're here. Okay? We all struggle with different things at different times, but if you're having a hard time with the peace of God, let your family pray with you and help you to be filled with the love of God. All right? Okay. Steve, let's go.